Everybody in this room is a part of the family. Everybody ought to have a family, and you have one. Now, you're at different stages in family development, and I'd like to find out a little bit about where you are. How many of you are already married? Would you please stand? All the married folks in the group. Great. Well, do we have the single choir up here? How many of you are engaged to be married? Stand up. Hey, that's good. Anybody got engaged to Glorietta? All right, how many of you hope to be married one of these days? That's encouraging. I'm glad we have a positive response. We have now had the invitation service. We had it at the beginning. We have recorded all of these. We'll expect you to follow up on that. If you would like, we'll have a Mooney-style wedding in just a minute, and you can all stand up. I started to say choose your partners, but I'm afraid some of you take me literally. We'd have better. Tonight, we're going to share some thoughts with you, biblical and experience about family. There are some things that we'll not be talking much about, partly because you can't talk about everything, and partly because National Student Ministries has a new book out on sex, love, and marriage, written by Paul Jones, who is a former BSU director, an outstanding book, and I'd recommend it to you. When I first saw the title, I thought maybe they'd gotten the words misarranged. Sex, love, and marriage. Well, you read the book and find out what that's about, huh? This is the first X-rated book ever published by the Sunday School Board. I don't know who the editor was, but it's been nice knowing you. I'd recommend another book to you. It's called The Bible. And it's just filled with material on family life. And if you will take time to do that in your Bible study, your life will be the richer for it. The family you're now part of will be the better for it. And for those of you who are looking toward marriage, that will be the better too. Now let me introduce these persons who are going to be part of this sharing experience tonight. Nell McGee introduced and indicated some of them. I don't know whether you can tell which is the daughter and which is the mother. In the blue sweater is daughter, Merida, nickname Murr. In the white blouse, Bobby. Meredith is a college student. Bobby is the wife of a former seminary president and one involved in student work and student life, and the mother of a college student. It seemed to me that it would be helpful to have both points of view presented tonight. And so we have a student and parent. I'm just the referee. And I thought as we prayed about this evening that it would be very helpful to have a campus minister involved in the discussion. And therefore asked Tim Saliday, who is a friend of ours and has been a part of a lot of discussions around our family table, to enter into this session tonight. Because as the parents, in a sense, pass the children on to college and university, there is a campus minister, a BSU director, there to help in the next transition, and that is on to marriage or to creative singleness. And Tim himself has just passed over the great divide. Debbie, where are you? His new, I started to say new bride. You should. He didn't have an old bride. But Debbie and Tim have been married for about
11 weeks.
They were married in our backyard. Debbie, where are you? Somewhere. Stand up. I'm going to join the family, and we're going to share for just a few minutes about family life from a Christian perspective. My basic belief is, out of the Bible, that family life is an expression of God's love. This week is thematic about God's love, and one of God's greatest gifts is the gift of family. Because He loves us, He's given us family life. And one of the ways we share God's love is through our families. We share His love with other members of our family. I've been in meetings where people sang gloriously and preached powerfully and then went back to their families and acted like third-rate jerks. It's important that our Christian faith carry over into our family life. What we do in public must be also just as much of what we do in private within our families. We express the love of God through our family. But also, our families then become a channel for the expression of God's love to a lost world. And a family that's not functioning correctly is a bad witness, not a good one, and can lead people away from the Christ. Therefore, tonight we want to talk about God's design for family, because if we live in our families according to His design, then it will function well. We can bless the world of which we're part. But if we don't fit into God's design, then we're going to wreck our lives, our families, and be a negative influence in our world. Right? Now, it's also important to understand what that design is and therefore get in step with it. Because if you don't operate according to God's design, you're going to have a crack up in your marital relationships, in the family that you're part of now and the family that you're going to establish. Tim, something happened to you recently like that, didn't it?
Well, we were talking before. On my honeymoon, I learned the benefit of using something for what it was designed.
You better follow up on that in a hurry, I'd say.
One word. Well, I will.
Give him a chance.
I don't have any. How many of you have ever been windsurfing? But that seems to be the thing that together people do is windsurf. And so we were on our honeymoon, and I decided to go ahead and display my manly abilities. And
I promise this has been totally unrehearsed.
Anyway, the situation was that I hopped up on the windsurfer because I'd had sailing experience before, and just a little surfboard and a sail, and I thought, no problem. So I was sufficiently macho getting away from shore. The wind was with me, but I couldn't get back. And it was a half a mile from shore, and finally I managed to make the implement there, the thing I was on, only a surfboard, to dismantle it, take down the sail and everything. And paddle back in. Of course, that really shot the macho image that I was looking for. So you've got to use things for what they're for. And I had no idea how to use a windsurfer.
I think Debbie was afraid she had lost her husband the first day out. Well, family's a lot like that. If you don't really know how it's supposed to function, what the design is, then you get in a lot of trouble. Now, the Bible says that God's basic design for family is a special kind of relationship between the people and the family. We heard tonight one of the longer scriptures in the New Testament. Let me read you a shorter one. It's found in Colossians. and it is about the relationship between members of the family. Listen to this in Colossians chapter 3, beginning with verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, as you heard that, did you notice that each member of the family is given instruction from God about what? Relationship. There's no formula for family. There's no model family in the Bible. There is no role that's set forth that if you follow it, it's going to be magically okay. What the Bible stresses is that the people within a family are to relate to one another in a way that's constructive and positive. So family relationships are the key to the whole matter. If we relate positively, according to God's plan, then families thrive. If we don't, families shrivel and have all kinds of trouble. Now, that's part of your family right now. It's part of the family that those of you who are looking forward to marriage may one day establish. But something to remember is that because relating to people is a lifelong experience and takes a lot of practice to do well, if you don't relate well in the family you're part of before you marry, you're not going to relate well in the family you're part of after you marry. There's nothing magic about what the preacher says. When Debbie and Tim said, "I do," and walked away from that altar of marriage, they were the same two people who'd walked toward it. Nothing happens at all. You are who you bring to your marriage. And the best gift you can give to your future marriage partner is not a big diamond. It's a super fantastic Christian mature you. So, how do we relate? What are some of the keys to family relationship? I've asked Bobby and Meredith, as we talked about this, what did we do in our family, what are we doing in our family that's hurt good relationships? And then kind of think about some of the things which has helped. We're not a model family. Boy, we have all kinds of interesting things that go on in our household. I think it'd be helpful for you to take a look at your family and see some of the things which are hurtful in your relationships right now and some which are helpful. Meredith, what do you think we've done that's kind of goofed? One time... I have a feeling that a lot of times we get in trouble when we get tired and all, and I was really tired one time. A lot of things were going on, and she had procrastinated getting a term paper in. Nobody else in here has ever done that, I know. And she was in high school, and boy, was I upset. And I just really raked her over the coals, and oh, I'm mad. And after it was all over with, I realized, boy, I really didn't handle that very well. That was kind of overreaction. So I went into her room and apologized and said that I was... sorry about that. And she said, "No, you really didn't handle that very well. If you'll sit down here, I'll tell you how you could have done it better." So what are some things you feel like we've not done very well?
Well, not necessarily negative, but our family has a lot of communication. And you can't be afraid to disagree. You're always going to disagree, but the bad part is when you let your emotions take control and anger comes through, and mother cries a lot.
Not anymore. I've stopped that.
But really a guilt trip. But you can't be afraid. You can't be afraid to disagree, and you should be honest, but don't be spiteful. You know, you've got to control those feelings and express them in a disciplined way. I think sometimes we let it get out of control.
We do. Yes, that's right.
I think it's important, too, to not clam up. When we first married, Bill was so trying to be such a good husband. And he is a good husband. He is. And a great husband. But he really had. He'd read all the books, and he was taking this so seriously. Get get my feelings hurt. And he'd say, honey, what's wrong with you? Nothing. Don't be guilty of just clamming up and not being willing to share your feelings. We went through several years of nothings, and finally it dawned on me that he really did care about how I felt. And there sometimes I didn't know why I felt like I felt. I felt that way because I was a woman. And women have these ups and downs feelings. And you have to do this. But I did get to the point where I could just share with him some of my feelings, because I knew he really cared about me and wanted to know how I felt about things.
I think that sometimes there's too much communication. Sometimes sometimes you have to realize that you have to just let them work it through themselves and then talk about it. No, don't just keep asking, what's wrong? What's wrong? You know, what did I do wrong? But and the parents have to realize that the kids have to make their own mistakes. Your parents can't make mistakes for you or keep you from making mistakes. That's not healthy and doesn't help you mature.
Yeah, one of the hard things about being a parent is watching as you see someone you love about to do it, something is going to be terribly painful for them, and you know it. And yet, if you pull them back from that every time, they never learn.
But I never did the same thing twice.
Well, I don't know about that. What are some other keys to family relations that you feel, Tim, you've watched students deal with families that you feel like that they need to improve on as from your perspective?
One key thing I think that happens a lot is that, especially going off to college for the college student, they tend to think that there's this built-in independence that comes with saying goodbye and driving off or being left off at college. I think a lot of times we are guilty of not letting the parents actually continue to be parents. Now, that doesn't mean a lot of restrictions necessarily or controls, but just there is a certain amount of parental concern that continues. And a lot of times, I know, at least I felt, when I was in college even, that, they just don't need to be so concerned about that. This is my life now. And I think we need to let our parents be parents in a healthy way.
Sometimes you have to humor them, though. Yeah.
Mira does.
Could you elaborate on that a little bit?
No.
Speaking of humor, I think that's one of the important things in family relationships is a good dose of humor and fun. Families do need to play together a lot. They need to laugh together, be able to enjoy things. Sometimes you take it too seriously. You know, you're going to raise this kid up to be right no matter what. And there needs to be that light element, light touch to it in family. We try to do this, as I'm sure most of you have had in your families. Plus, a lot of emphasis on forgiveness and love and thoughtfulness. I don't know how long it's been since some of you have dropped a note of appreciation to your folks or made a telephone call just to say, "Hey, I love you." But the Bible stresses so much love as part of family. And love in 1 Corinthians 13 is broken down in practical ways. It's not just kind of good about somebody, but it's thoughtful and unselfish and generous. You can get so caught up in being religious in the ecstasy of the moment that you forget to be Christian in your family. So family relations is something that just goes on and on, and we work at it, but it changes. Now, Tim mentioned when you go away to college, and some of you have never gone away. You're still at home and going to college, or commuting, or you're in a community college. But somewhere along the way, there's got to be a change in this relationship from parent-child moving toward adult-adult. Now, that's pretty painful. Tim, you see folks come to your campus. How can that change come about in a constructive way by Christians to begin to move from being the dependent child to beginning to be the interdependent functioning adult?
There are a lot of things that happen. One of the important things to remember is that it's going to be a very gradual process. I think that We're in a day when things are instant and so much happens so fast. And relationships are never that way. And one of the important things to remember is that it's going to be a gradual growing apart and growing to maturity that's going to take place. And there's going to be trial and error, so to speak. And there's going to be experimentation to see how far you can go and how much grown up you really are according to how grown up you feel. And there's going to be a lot of that dynamic that goes on. A lot of our students that I see come on campus want that adulthood immediately. And there's just this crying out for, give me my freedom, give me my adulthood now. And of course the parents, they want that for them, but they want it in a healthy way. And a lot of times the unhealthy approaches to that, or the strivings that we would go through in order to attain that, can really be destructive. And the walls get built up between the family. And, well, you just don't want me to grow up. Oh, yes, I do, but I just want you to grow up right. And it just gets to be more complicated as the relationship gets strained because of the desire for that instantness.
Okay.
You know, parents have a big responsibility. They have to let go eventually of the student. But we as students also have a big responsibility. We have to realize that, you know, parents hurt too. Mm-hmm. And when, you know, I remember the first time I went home to California, and I said, well, I can't wait till I get back home, meaning school. And it, you know, I could tell that it really hurt them. But, you know, we have to realize that you know, parents have feelings, and as we mature, we find that parents are moody too, not only us. And, you know, we have to be sensitive to them. It's not just them trying to be sensitive and let go to us.
I remember when Meredith was going off to college, Bobby said, we were at seminary, and she said, now I want all you seminary students to really help me now, because I'm really going to be missing Meredith. This is going to be really hard on me with her gone. And, I mean, by the time Meredith got back home the first time, her room was a sewing room, and there was all kinds of...
No. I left it.
But they did have dibs. My little sister and my mom had dibs on my room. And that hurts, too. I know some people got... your students go back home for the first time, and, you know, somebody else has moved into your room, and it's not fair.
I think that is one of the hardest times, is when a student does go away and come back, and you've been used to all that heady freedom, and your parents still think of you as a high school student, and they want to know where you're going, what time you're going to be in, who you're going to be with, and what are you going to do.
Who's driving.
And, yeah. And you haven't answered questions like that in months. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot of understanding. And maybe the kind of communication Meredith talked about earlier is very important, to sit down and talk this out. Hey, you know, here's how I feel about that, and we're not quite in that way anymore. I think a key to helping in that understanding in the whole relationship is our relationship to God. Christian families are not only relating to one another, but they relate to God. It's a kind of triangle. As they relate to God and draw close to Him, they draw close to each other. And without that, the family begins to fall apart, particularly in these transition times. Now, as you move from being a part of family day by day to school, where you're more and more independent, to the time in which you establish a new relationship in marriage, it's super important that you make that transition well, because you never leave parents. You may leave them geographically, but you never leave them psychologically and emotionally. They go with you everywhere you go. They're built into your think system, into your feel system, and how you react. And if you don't make that transition well, if it's a tearing, jerking, bad time, then you're going to go into that family with all kinds of guilt and problems and unresolved relationships. Get me? So work through it well. It's tremendously important. And with God's help, it can be done. Now, when you're a part of a Christian family growing up, they more or less have responsibility for your spiritual development. So you have family worship and all. And you may come from families that didn't have family worship, or you may have been resistive to what was there. You don't want anything to do with it. But now, guess who's responsible for that spiritual development?
I remember family devotions. Oh boy. Every morning at breakfast, we had to have family devotion. Well, for one thing, I hate mornings. Secondly, I hate breakfast. And thirdly, I didn't want to have to sit down and read the Bible.
You don't like reading the Bible?
That's not what I said.
Oh, okay.
I didn't... I love reading the Bible, but I didn't want to have to sit down with the family every morning and read it. I think, well, of course, in high school, I was, you know, like most high school students, I guess, I was pretty rebellious. But there comes a time, you know, I wanted to read the Bible, but for myself, I didn't want them telling me that I had to read it. And, of course, I haven't been home in 2 years for breakfast, so... I don't know how
this was a tremendous struggle on me because I wanted to be a parent. I chose to be a parent. I had looked forward to being a mother. I had taken all the courses on preschool and how to raise your child, and I'd go to all the conferences, and we were going to have family devotions. But I did see that it was becoming a very divisive thing in the morning and during these times, and I had to just pray a lot on how I could show God to Meredith in a positive way more than just the family devotion.
And I really tore her up because she felt, you know, I know she felt like she was failing as a parent, but she wasn't. It's just I didn't want the have to. I wanted to do it for myself.
How many of you grew up in families that had daily family worship, family devotions? Ooh, not only a scattering of people. I started to say how many of those you did just really thoroughly enjoyed it every day. I mean, it was just...
I'm not the only one.
All right, fairly normal kid up here. I think we all go through that time of not wanting to respond to the have-tos, but then suddenly you find that there's nobody there telling you you have to. Mm. Now what? Because right now, as you move through these years, if there's any time in life that it's important to be spiritually sensitive to God's leadership, because the absolute essential in a good marriage is the will of God, is marrying the person God wants you to marry, and if you're not sensitive to His leadership, you're going to make a bad choice, probably. I was speaking in Northern California recently, and a woman came by and talked to me about the problems she was having in her family. She went to a Baptist school, but during the last part of it, she got spiritually cool and away from her relationship to Christ. And it was during that time that she met a guy that was real good looking and all that and fell in love. You know the story, married. He was not a Christian, didn't want anything to do with Christianity, and now her whole life is plagued by that. Now you can pull out a nail, but you can't pull out the hole. You can get God's forgiveness for a mistake, but it does not correct the mistake. And your kids and your family and everybody is affected by that. So it's important to maintain the spiritual aliveness right now. Tim, how do folks do that where you've seen them do it well?
A lot of times what happens is after the student gets over the initial rebellion of I'm not going to do it because I don't have to anymore, they come up spiritually dry. They realize, they sense it in their own experience with God. They might go home and realize that they aren't where they were when they left. And there's that example of here are the other people around them who represent that Christian experience. And they feel very foreign to that when they get back in that situation. What has got to happen and what essentially happens in order for us to become survivors of the college experience and moving through that independent stage or that movement toward interdependence is developing that identity within ourselves, and that personal relationship that we talk about, personal relationship all the time, and that's how we become Christians and all of that, and we live in that. But when you don't have to, and when you get down to the nitty gritty of it's just me and God, it's got to be done. The only way you do it is you just got to do it, and that's the struggle, and it's discipline, and that's the part of growing up that is hard. It was the hardest for me. It's not an osmosis religion, and in our Baptist Student Union and on the campuses anywhere, the Bible study times, they aren't just for hoopla and for cheerleading and getting everybody together so that we can get a big attendance at Glorietta or the beach party or whatever we're doing. But it's to create some substance for the individual who is now experiencing that independence and letting God's Word become real to them. It's their experience, not someone else's. And that's how it's got to be.
Bobby has kind of been an example for us in our family with her own spiritual growth and development. Share quickly some of the things that you do, very practical.
Well, I believe in prayer, and I believe in intercessory prayer, and spend a lot of time. I don't have idols around my house, but I have reminders. I will have a vase that belongs to somebody that somebody's given me, and as I go past that, I pray for that person. I have lists, as you do, of prayer things. I knew the struggle that Meredith was going through during her adjustment into college, and I prayed, and many of my friends prayed, and we formed mothers and groups together, and we would pray every day specifically for our college kids because we knew what they were facing, and it was not an easy task. I sent little reminders.
She sent me a cake on my birthday. It was a bear, and on it, in icing, it said, let's see, pray every day, study hard, eat your veggies, and something else. Anyway, it was my fourth. Be a good girl.
I have a support group. I believe in friends helping me grow spiritually. I treasure my friends, and you are at such a time in your life to make good friends, and this is an important time. Reach out and make good friends now and take advantage of this time and depend on them to help you grow, but most of all, depend on your relationship with
Bobby
God.
Bobby also has a daily time of scripture study.
Yes.
and prayer and spiritual journey notebook and the kinds of things that you hear about and wonder if anybody really ever does. Well, they really do.
But you know, the scariest thing is that when you get up to heaven, God's not going to say, what did your parents do to lead you in your spiritual life? He's going to say, what did you do for me? And it's not your BSU's responsibility to see. I mean, they do have a responsibility to minister, but when you get to heaven, it's not going to be their fault if you're not a Christian and can't make it into heaven. God's going to say, what did you do for me? It's up to you completely to go find help if you need it.
Good word. Yeah, you're not totally on your own. God never leaves us that way, but you're responsible. Well, let me sum it up. God's expressed His love by giving us families. He's not only given us families, He's told us how they're supposed to function. He's not left us high and dry, but His Word tells us the design for family life. And that basically is relating to one another according to His pattern. Parents and children and friends. And if we do it well, then we express His love through our family life. Now, we're going to ask you tonight to join us in family worship. Is it okay? It's not breakfast. What we do in our family is we usually are around a table, and Tim has been at our table quite often. I never knew who was going to be at our table, and that's good too, because families need to reach out to other people. But we would we'd spend time and read scripture together, and then we would share in prayer requests, and then spend some time in prayer. We would nearly always hold hands. I'd like for you to enter into our family worship tonight. So just kind of cuddle up to the person next to you there and grab a hold of their hand. We've read the scripture tonight, heard several of different passages. I hope you'll read more of what the Bible has to say. Let's just go around quickly in our group, and what prayer requests do you have for family? Tim?
My dad died a couple of years, and my mom is going through a transition of being single again and going through a whole new experience of learning to date and to relate to people in a new way, and I constantly like to remember her.
I'd like to pray that all these beautiful people will go back to their campuses and grow and just be what God wants them to be.
Now that you guys are closer to school, that's going to be fun, I think. it's going to be exciting to be able to go home on the weekend, but I hope we don't kill each other first.
I'll second that prayer motion. I'd like to pray tonight for each one of you and for me to remember our families not present with us tonight and what we can do to relate to them better, more thoughtfully, more lovingly, more forgivingly, more openly. Now, you have requests that you could make, but would you bow with me right now and let's just spend a moment here in prayer, in silent prayer together, praying for one another. And would you think a minute tonight about your parents? As Tim has indicated, his dad is dead. Some of you have divorced parents, dead parents. But ponder them a bit because they're so much a part of your life. Thanking God for the good and praying for them for that which needs to be changed in their life. Now, because God's design for family is basically relating, would you spend just a minute thinking about how you relate to the family you're part of right now? Do you relate? Do you spend time? Do you pray for them? Do you thank them? Do you communicate openly? Ask God to help you make what changes is needed in your life. And then because relating to our Heavenly Father is a key to all family relationships, would you run a little spiritual checklist right now? You can't grow much alone. You have to be part of a church, of a worshiping community. You can't grow by hit and miss. There's got to be daily prayer, Bible reading, and meditation. How are you doing in keeping your spiritual life alive and warm and growing so you won't make this life's second most important decision in the spiritual vacuum? Now I'm going to lead our family in prayer, as I do when we pray together as a family. And then Tim's going to lead us in singing. And you'll join with him as he sings, "We Are One in the Bond of Love." But first, let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for the gift of family. Thank you for the families represented here tonight and for the families which will be formed soon from those here tonight and for others in the future. Father, we make a mess of family sometimes. We're unthoughtful, callous, mean, all the kinds of things that we human beings are good at. But we want to be better parts of families. Fashion us into loving, caring, sharing, trusting, forgiving people, bound together in your love. Because you love us so much, you gave us the gift of family and told us how to live it well. Oh God, let us share your love through our families. In Jesus' name.